Shabbat shalom, everyone. The Father's good to us, amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, I've been absolutely loving where he's been having us at in the Word and all the wonderful things that he's been showing us, especially about adoption and identity. Amen. And being able to see it in his words and his plan unfold for us to know it from the foundation, so that way we can fully understand what it is from the beginning of the book to the end of the book of what it is that the Father has in store for us, his children. There's been a lot of interesting things that happen from week to week that can really resonate with each and every one of us whenever it comes to walking in obedience, because we're going to be tested. Because thankfully the Father cares that much about us to where he's going to make sure that we stay on that straight and narrow if we're willing to seek him day by day. But there's always a little side note that I put going into these things to help encapsulate the general direction that the Father's been dealing with me these past couple weeks. It came to me to say, the world separates and isolates, but Jehovah unifies and multiplies. Amen. And that's the absolute truth if we're willing to walk in that. We can see it time and time again. And before I get into all the different things, let's go ahead and start off right in our text and move along through this the way the Father was dealing with me. But we're still in Genesis 48. We're going to start with verse 1. And our launching pad is going to be verse 4, is where I was at. I was watching and observing the way Pastor was moving through that Genesis 48, back and forth, up and down, all around, covering ground to ground, sky, everything in between. And I was like, I aim for that. I aim for that. But we're going to be moving along in this little by little. Verse 1 is, and after these events, it came to be that it was said to Yosef, see, your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Yaakov was told, see, your son Yosef is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. And Yaakov said to Yosef, El Shaddai appeared to me at Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said to me, see, I am making you fruitful, and shall increase you, and make you an assembly of peoples, and give this land to your seed after you as an everlasting possession. And what really, really kept catching my attention over and over was the assembly of peoples. And I can't help but be so excited for the assembly, being able to partake with assemblies, because we're all the assembly of Almighty Yah. And it's a blessing to be able to see all these things unfold. And I'm thinking about tomorrow and about how all these things are starting to blossom all over one moment of obedience. Because that was the key in those moments for me and Brother Yared, yeah, to cross paths.
Yeah.
And I guess we choked up because I'm thankful. Because I sit there a lot of the time and I go, Father, I was just some little white kid in LaRose. Grew up in a small trailer with no electricity, barely any water sometimes. And I felt forgotten. But now I get to be part of these little stepping stones that each and every one of us get to be a part of. All through obedience. And like Brother Chad and me were talking before service, this is part of the obedience. I love the way Brother Jared does his expressions on how we met. It's a little bit more animated. But I could tell you, every time in that moment, the minute we locked eyes on Zietzietz, it wasn't, oh, how you doing, man? Yeah, I know about those. It was, no, what's going on, my brother? Went right in for the hug. Because instantly there was an identifier there showing that we serve that same Elohim, that there's a dedication there. And of course, spending time with each other to make sure that no one has some imposter Zietzietz on. But the beautiful thing about fellowship is the benefit of being part of the assembly. And we know the word says We are not to be like some that forsake the assembly and the gathering of Elohim. Because there's moments that the Father wants us all to be a part of, and it's part of our duty to make sure that we're here for one another, lifting each other up. Because even all the way right here in Genesis 48, verse 4, whenever Jacob's re-speaking about the covenant promise that Almighty Yah gave him, that's been being passed down through Abraham, Yitzhak, and now Jacob, and is about to do something absolutely tremendous, as we've been seeing. Opening the door to the nations. Because we can see in Scripture that there's been time and time again when whenever man puts his hands on the plans of Almighty Yah, tends to fumble a little bit. Put walls where walls don't belong. And all these things are premises to where we're heading to. But assembly, because we have a structure in our studies, is kahal. Kahal. I hope I'm saying it right. And that's the H6951. Assemblage, company, congregation, a multitude. Now the ancient Hebrew, something interesting happened here. It's the kof and the lamed. You gather and shepherd. So gather is the action and shepherd is the abstract. But it is a gathering of the light and the shepherd's staff representing authority. When we combine these, it means to gather to the staff. When the shepherd called the sheep, they swiftly came to him. The staff of the shepherd was his tool of authority. With it, he would direct, discipline, and protect the flock. And we know with those three things, each and every one of us needs it. Day in and day out, we need direction, we need discipline, and we need to be protected. Because a lot of times we can catch ourselves wandering. There's a lot of bells and whistles in the world that we're living in right now. There's a lot of things that could easily distract us and cause us to go off course. But thankfully, the Father has positioned us to be a part of an assembly to where we can hold each other accountable. But that takes a watchful eye to make sure that you're walking in the way that shepherd is guiding. I remember, and this is just coming to me, but I remember one thing that I always held on to. Because we got people that we care about that's still going through it, the best way to put it. But you cannot get off the boat of salvation and jump in the water to save someone. You have to see that life ring be extended to them. Because it's up to the individual to grab a hold to it and be brought back on. And that takes discipline. That takes the willingness to admit that you're in a position that you should have never been in the first place. And time again, we kind of allow ourselves to get a little bit further than what we should. But thankfully, Almighty Yah, time and time again, allows that shepherd's staff to go forth and pull up behind's back. And all these things are detrimental to being a part of the assembly. Because that's what we are. We family. Mishpachah. I believe I said that right. Amen. English is my first language. Hebrew, first and a half. I won't even say second. But I was going to keep going because we have that certain structure. And it's a good structure. It's a good study tool, good principle. But I kept going, all right, we're going to deep dive in assembly. But every time I kept going, nothing was coming to me because I was being prayerful and considerable. But I kept hearing staff, because it just said that the staff represents authority. The staff of the shepherd was his tool of authority. So I was like, all right, Father, I'll seek into that. I'll dive into that. So I instantly go to the Hebrew because that's his covenanted language. And that's the matah. And that's H4294. And I'm just providing the breadcrumbs leading to the loaf. Because that's what it's like whenever you're going through the Word and you're being more considerate and prayerful whenever you go before the Father, because you want to make sure that you represent Him and going in the direction that He's leading you to. Because I just talked about direction. And I'm an open book. I got no problem wearing my garbage. And yes, that was a garbage man pun. and don't enjoy it. So let's not get it twisted, because garbage smells bad. But the reality is, like I said before in the past, as I'm doing this walk, learning how to walk, allowing him to provide the spiritual increase and responsibilities, and then ordination comes along and all these things, and you would think, all right, now I got the oil, I'm gonna be even ready to go. I am. I feel the increase, but there's still some things. Almighty Yah is like, all right, my little boy, let me chip this off of you. You still got to work on this. And that one thing I used to admit all the time, there was times even going into the studies, I was like, oh, this has got good momentum. And I just start going along, putting things together. And then I start to, you know, go to the boss. Like, Father, is this the right direction? This is an opening. This is a passageway. This is a direction. You got to do that every single step of the way. And that's for anything and everything. Anything and everything, from every moment, from the moment we wake up and give him praise to the next moments where we go brush our teeth and get ready for the day, go out there. It has to be continual communication with the Father. It has to be. Because otherwise, we're going to end up in the wrong direction, and like this, like that. Because in a heartbeat, somebody could step on your toes. Somebody could pass the smell past your nose. I'm not going to start rhyming or rapping. But things can easily offset us. And sometimes it's a lot to do with the spirit of familiarity. Now, I remember whenever we were doing a lot of the marriage teachings, that was always the number one thing that would come up the most. Because we could put our faces on whenever we come to the congregation. We could put our faces on when we go out into public. But when we're at home, when we're around the ones we're comfortable with, we allow that to be an excuse to have attitude. And then that attitude pours over. You know, and this isn't none of my notes, nor thought of direction that I'd be going tonight. But I'm just going to let it flow and let him have his way. Because this is a family meeting, this is the assembly of Almighty Yah. But that's a reality that we got to face time and time again. The first ministry is the ministry at home. First. But let's rope this back in. We're looking at Matah, the staff. We're looking at the breadcrumbs leading me to the path that Almighty Yah was dealing with me with. But that Matah, a branch, it could figuratively be a tribe, also a rod, whether for chastising, ruling. It could also mean a scepter, and that's important. But it continues with his examples, but I wanted to really bounce off of scepter because the next thing that got my attention, and as usual, a lot of times, sometimes things get repeated. But that's the beauty of Almighty Yah's word, is repetition. Psalms 110 was the next position that I was led to. Considering all the things that's taken place in Genesis 48 and how we were given that imagery of the importance of realizing Ephraim and Manasseh, receiving that blessing, the covenant, and the opening the door to the nations to be able to enter in. Because being mindful, we remember, those two boys were born where? Mishraim, Egypt. And that's a key signifier. Because that's how the Father operates, with these certain key elements to grab our attention, so that way, with spiritual eyes, we're able to see the plan of redemption right before us. And I'm absolutely thankful for that. That's been a blessing. Because even though we've been going through this Torah, and now that we're slowing down and taking this bad boy in first gear going uphill, there's subtle details like that that just stand off on the page that the Father wants us to absorb. But that Psalms 110, dealing with scepter, staff, authority, because every assembly has an authority that it has to swiftly move towards. It says, Yehovah said to my master, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Yehovah sends your mighty scepter out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. That mighty scepter, that staff of authority, we know is Almighty Yeshua, the one at his right hand. And then I was thinking, because all these things, they come to you in pieces sometimes. As the word's going forth, you go home, you take it, you chew on it, you start to study, and then you let it marinate. I like Italian food. It's always better when you let it marinate. So when it's marinating, and the different things that come across your mind, according to where you've been looking at, you'll be reminded of certain things. And in consideration of the nations, we know in Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20, that great commission, and I can tell you this much. You could have nose down. I'm going to just say this. I'm going to tell on pastor. You can have nose down. When he goes up there and speaks, he takes your notes. Because I'm always listening to see where those connections are and to see what's matching where I've been looking at. I was like, oh, he said that. He said that. He said that. But I love it because it's confirmation that you're in the right direction. And y'all know y'all got to be patient with Brother Rob sometimes. I get a little excited, and then it causes my brain to fire off a little bit faster. But verse 16, we're dealing with that Great Commission, because we're looking at assembly, authority, the nations granted access, because there's key words that we got to pay attention to. And the 11 taught ones went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Yeshua had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they bowed to him, but some doubted. And Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in the heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make taught ones of some of the nations, all the nations. And if I remember correctly, it's not in my notes. That should be ethos, where we get the word ethnicity, nations, a multitude, everybody, not just the Yehudim, not just anyone else, but all nations. And I couldn't help but realize some interesting things. I'm going to go ahead and get ahead of myself. That's all right. Some interesting things that we're going to see dealing with Acts chapter 10. That should be a very familiar place for us. Acts chapter 10, and then there's a little bit more, 1 through 18 in chapter 11. That all ties in significantly into these important key elements whenever it comes to dealing with the nations. Because there's a type of seclusion that takes place. Because in the beginning of the message, I said the world separates and isolates, Jehovah unifies and multiplies. There's been a lot of man-made structures out there, whether it's religion, politics, or whatever else is influencing us, that is always trying to isolate us and separate us, because that's the way of the world. And we hear it in speech. We hear it in different experiences that we may experience at work. And I'm going to share one of those experiences, because it was a touchy situation. It could be an uncomfortable situation. But what's important to realize is the identity that we have to receive from the Father and walk in that, and not be conformed to the ways of the world, but instead transformed by the renewing of our mind. But for the sake of finishing the Matthew's account, it says, therefore, go and make taught ones of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the set apart Spirit, teaching them to guard all that I have commanded you. And see, I am with you always until the end of the age. Amen. And that's a key principle right there of its own, verse 20, that a lot of people would like to take and observe the Passover on. But the reality is, we're charged to guard all that I have commanded you. And we know that the all that Yeshua is talking about, it's all his Father's word from start to finish. But before we jump into Peter and Cornelius's business, there was that quick reminder, and I'm not going to go into Galatians, even though it's tempting, especially with the information that was shared with us, because it's been helpful. There was two verses in Galatians chapter 3 that repopped into my mind today in regards to these key principles that are so important for the assembly to be able to walk towards that authority, receive that authority, and increase and multiply, to unify and multiply. But that's I'm talking about verse 28 and 29, the end portion of Galatians 3, because he was giving them a stark reminder. There is not Yehudi nor Greek. There is not slave nor free. There is not male and female. For you are all one in Messiah Yeshua. And if you are of Messiah, then you are seed of Abraham and heirs according to a promise. And there could be a lot whenever it comes to dealing with just that one section, because we know that is an area where the world likes to chew and tear apart and take it and run with it and say, the law's done away with. We don't need the Torah. But ultimately, we know that the Torah has been established as a guardian, something that is used as a guideline to keep us within the parameters of the shepherd. Because every good shepherd is going to have a place for the assembly of the sheep to gather together as he watches over them with his staff of authority. So we have to make sure that we're remaining in position with him and not throwing away anything that he doesn't want thrown away. And that is probably the quickest and lightest way to bypass that. But ultimately, the key emphasis that I want to draw from before we go into Kepha and Cornelius' situation is the fact that there is no societal isolating group that's holding anybody back or down. And if we're familiar with Cornelius, it's so important, because he is just, would be considered a goyim, would be considered someone just out there of the nation, would have been a Greek, Roman, centurion. But the uniqueness of how he's approached, because he's the one that starts off the chapter. The things are starting in place with him first. And that's another key identifier of the things that are taking place in chapter 48 of Genesis, of Almighty Yah's plan of redemption and acceptance and an open door for all those willing to receive Yeshua Messiah. But now let's make our way to Acts 10. I'll probably like, finally, Brother Rob, we made it. But I can tell y'all right now, this is one of my favorite chapters. There's a lot of experience early in my walk that I get the experience with this chapter, because we know this is a chapter that's also beat up on, especially down here in southern Louisiana. When you got all them little critters running around, you want to drop them in some sodium-induced crab boil and make them smell different, taste better. All the things. Everybody ate what they ate. I ate pretty much everything if it moved. But we could see time and time again, this chapter is usually used for the purpose of combating the food laws. And thankfully, we have a father that cares about our diet, that cares about our discipline. Because y'all can't look me straight in the face and tell me that it doesn't take discipline. Because I'm pretty sure we got Cajuns in here, right? So, I'm just saying. Well, let's keep moving, because I'll start going into a Leviticus 11 sermon. All right. Now let's deal with Peter and Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Now just keeping in mind the importance of the realization of those things that took fruition with the promises that Almighty Yah made all the way in the beginning. Now there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a captain of what was called the Italian regiment. maybe English is not my first language. So I want to highlight something before we move to the next verse. Because I once spent a good amount of time on this chapter just for the fact, because I knew I had someone trying to debate me and I was being respectful. And the best way to respect your opponent is provide nothing but truth and all the truth. But there was key things that I learned along the way of importance, subtle things. Captain, That's a centurion. And if you look at that word, it'll tell you that he wasn't just any normal little captain that was over a couple of few people. This would have been a man of authority. Authority, there's that word again. Somebody y'all uses certain people for a certain reason. And influence. This was somebody that would have been able to reach a lot of people like that. Because it's not just the 100 plus men that he would have been in charge, but he also had the mindset of all the families that they were providing for. This is a man of military. This is someone that's disciplined, that's used to listen to direction, that is trained to be able to listen to authority. All these things are key and subtle, because you could have used anybody. Cornelius could have been a carpenter, could have been anything. But Almighty God is trying to capture our attention and realize that there's something unique about Cornelius and his position, because he was no slouch. Verse 2, dedicated and fearing Elohim with all his household, doing many kind deeds to the people and praying to Elohim always. I also want to say, because I'm being reminded, when I was doing my deep dive and trying to get as much information as why Cornelius would have even been looking at the Torah, why he would have even been looking at the prophets, why he would have been looking at any of that, if he was secluded from that. Because mind you, a lot of people during that time, they couldn't read. They had to go to synagogue. They listened to the word go forth. They practiced memorizing by communicating with each other about the service. Because that increases memory. Imagine if we did that. If the majority of our conversation consisted of what it is that we just absorbed, and we just keep talking about it. It literally enters into us and becomes one with us. Because you could read about it. You could study about it. You could spend that one-on-one time about it. But Almighty Yah provides the assembly to multiply our ability to receive that word. And that's how much it's got. Because look, I'm going to just say this too. If I'm stepping on anybody's toes, you don't have to say ouch. Just curl them up like that. You can't even see it happen. I'm just saying, most of our conversation is a reflection of what it is that we care about most. And that's something that I'm receiving for myself also. Because even though I don't talk a lot, I could be meditating more and learning how to talk more. And it could be more consistency on the things of Almighty Yah. That's something I've been implementing at work. And I'm getting to that moment, because remember, the world separates and isolates, but Almighty Yah unifies and multiplies. Something, a key reminder. Let's keep moving on this. Verse 3. He clearly saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day, which I can't help myself, that would have been 3 o'clock. Because the way that they divided the time would have been 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of nighttime. That was just, as Brother Scott says, lanyap. That was just a little extra. When you do your study, you want to know. Because I'm looking at the text and I'm going, oh, ninth hour, that must have been 9 o'clock. Oh, 900. Nope, you got to dig a little deeper. And it helps paint a picture for you. A messenger at the ninth hour of the day of Elohim coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius, and looking intently at him and becoming afraid, he said, what is it, master? And he said to him, your prayers and your kind deeds have come up for a remembrance before Elohim. And now send men to Yafo and send for Shimon, who is also called Kepha. He is staying with Shimon, a leather tanner, whose house is by the sea. And when the messenger who spoke to him went away, Cornelius called two of his household servants, a dedicated soldier from among those who waited on him continually, and having explained to them all, he sent them to Yafo. Now, I absolutely love how Almighty Yah as he's dealing with Cornelius. It's always one step ahead of everything. Well, seven steps to be more scripturally accurate. But he's already dealing with Kepha. Because mind you, spill the beans, Kepha would have still been struggling with certain man-made traditions and laws that isolated and separated, that kept people, quote, the nations, at a distance. But the time when Almighty Yah says it's time to draw near for those, he opens the pathway. Verse 9, and on the next day, as they were on their way, approaching the city, Kepha went up to his housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Y'all want to guess what time that was? Lunchtime, 12 o'clock. And he became hungry and wished to eat. But while they were preparing, he fell into a trance. And he saw the heaven opened, and a certain vessel, like a great sheet, bound at four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth, in which all kinds of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping creatures and the birds of the heaven. And a voice came to him, "Rise up, Kepha, slay and eat." But Kepha said, "Not at all, master, because I have never eaten what is common or unclean." And a voice came to him again the second time, "What Elohim has cleansed, you do not consider common." So I guess that means we can go eat whatever we want now, right? I mean, that's usually where it goes. You kind of departure from that text, and it's like, oh, well, you just increased the menu. Now I got more options. And you know what's crazy? Is I'll never forget the experience that I had early in my walk. And I'm thankful Almighty Yah made me, and it always feels weird to say humble, but that's what people equate me to. I just see it as learning how to keep my mouth shut. I got pretty good at it, because this thing gets you in trouble. But whenever he gives you that opportunity to speak, you got to speak. Because I remember, I have to share this, because every time it comes back to this. I remember getting invited to a certain house, a certain group that was starting to take interest, but they still had a real strong foundation in what it is that they were already brought up in. And I have no disrespect, but just love. But whenever it comes to food, that could really get somebody's emotions stirred up. Because a lot of times the flesh really, really, really takes things personal whenever somebody starts messing with your food. I got invited over, and the discussion was about food. And they decided to serve pork and beans, green beans with pork, ham and pineapple, and shrimp. Oh, and it had some rice. So I fixed me a big old bowl of rice. I put some hot sauce in it. We prayed, and I was getting them looks. Mad looks. I mean, you could eat it. You could eat anything. That's the whole point. I spoke to my pastor, and he said, Acts chapter 10. That's what it means. And I was like, I really appreciate the invitation. But if you want to, we can just get into the Word. That's what I'm here for. And then we went step by step through it. And I remember learning at that time how important context is. And all I said was, let's read the whole matter. Let's see what they're talking about. And let's see the importance behind what's taking place and why it's taking place. That's it. I didn't have to be like, oh, it's going to be like that? You're trying to shove pork in my mouth? No. And I didn't even feel any of that. I get emotional. Yeah. It happens up here. Because I care about them. Because, I mean, let's be real, most people don't know. There are a lot of people out there that's just stuck under a curse. Because that's what look. You might not like that terminology, but that's what it is. To not be able to see plainly what it is that the Father has established in His Word just means that there's a veil still over their eyes. But they have to be willing to see it. They have to be willing to look past it and be able to enter into what it is that He has for us. But I'm going to shorten up that story. because it's, like I said, it's not a Leviticus 11 sermon. But it ended on a good note, on a positive note, because I was able to maintain my composure. Just because somebody starts barking at you don't mean the dogs have to fight. You just listen and hear them out, because they're coming from to me, it's a crying out. I mean, look, I'm gonna just say this real quick. When I knew calamari was off the menu, I was a little upset. But I was just like, and then I went down this whole rabbit hole to where I started studying all the health benefits of what different food types, what this, and then pork has tons of carcinogen in it, which leads to cancerous cells because it's parasitic, and then, you know, so on and so forth. It went all down that. And then Pastor hits us with, you don't have to worry about all that. It's just about obedience. Because I was driving myself crazy explaining to people. I was working for a lawyer up the road. And he was trying to argue with me about, well, you can't eat redfish because you use shrimp. And I was like, what you know about this? I said it wasn't going to go into a food sermon. I'm sorry. There's so many good things with it. But I basically told him that whenever it comes to fins and scales, if it says fins and scales, I'm going to just be obedient and follow that. And I said, don't worry. It's already in water, so it's clean. And he just looked at me. He was like, you're something else. So let's move in this. I digress. There's a lot of memories that can pop up. Anybody want to help me out? Verse 16. Thank you and hallelujah. And this took place three times. The vessel was taken back to heaven. And while Kepha was doubting within himself about what the vision might mean, look, the men who had been sent from Cornelius, having asked for the house of Shimon, stood at the gate. And calling out, they inquired whether Shimon, also known as Kepha, was staying there. And as Kepha was thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, see three men you seek, but rise up, go down, and go with them, not doubting at all, for I have sent them. So Kepha went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, look, I am the one you seek. Why have you come? And they said, Cornelius, the captain, a righteous man and one who fears Elohim, well spoken of. And those are important words. Righteous man, one who fears Elohim and well spoken of by the entire nation of the Yehudim. So it sounded like Cornelius had good credit, really good credit. Because ultimately, considering all the things and all the practices and all the man-made traditions and certain laws that they had put, causing a division, that man, because of his walk, because of his dedication, because of the character reflection, was respected by all the nation of the Yehudim. It speaks a lot of volume, especially when you put your place in the time that they're living in. Was instructed by a set-apart messenger to send for you to his house and to hear words from you. So inviting them in, he housed them. And on the next day, Kepha went away with them, and some brothers from Yafo went with him. And if you were ever wondering the distance between the two, it's 37 miles, roughly. So that's about a day and a half to almost 2-day journey. It's a lot of walking. And the following day, they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius was waiting for them, having called together his relatives and close friends. And it came to be that when Kepha entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and bowed before him. But Kepha raised him up, saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. And taking with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And he said to them, you know that a Yehudi man is not allowed to associate with or go to one of another race. But Elohim has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And that was a big key emphasis on whenever I got to that verse and expressed to the individual that I was speaking to. But I did mention earlier about we go through things throughout the week. We're tested in moments. They could be small moments. It could be sitting down at the shop because you work for the parish. And work for the parish means there's about probably 4 to 5 hours of work most of the time. And the rest is just, you know, vegetating. But it's also an opportunity to be able to talk, which could be scary most of the time. But there were some things that surfaced and having all these different things already in mind, because especially verse 28, whenever it says, or go to one of another race. In our current terms and times, we would call that racism. In this world, is currently experiencing a lot of that. You look at all of what's going on, all of it, especially with the political environment. Whenever I say that, I'm talking about certain things being set into place, things going on, and then people taking that and running with it, posting it here, posting it there, and all of the different things. It brings up a lot of hate, a lot of hate whenever it comes to race. And at work, it's me and Jonathan. We the white dudes. And we sitting down in the shop, everybody's talking, and I'm good with everybody. Everybody loves me. I'm not gonna go into anybody else's business. But a certain conversation got brought up. A certain gentleman said, well, you know, there was a lot of things different back here in Plaquemines Parish way back in the day. Things were very different. They had a lot of segregation. They had a lot of different things like this and that. And he was just going on, telling me about back then. And he said, yeah, your people did a lot of messed up stuff. Just like that. Did like that. I said, time out. Hit the brakes. I said, that's not my people. My people do not focus on race. We focus on grace. That changed the environment of the whole room. Quick. Well, I mean, almost. One of them was a little kind of like getting up to speed. Like, what? Grace? What you mean by that? I was like, the Father's grace, my friend. I said, I know there's a lot of stuff going on right now and sparking a lot of conversations about this thing right here. But I said, the world is literally being set up to isolate and separate. But we have a Father, if we follow him, he wants to take us in and unify us and multiply us. So he's the only one that we could follow that sets the standard. Because if we're being realistic, when we look at what Peter just said in Acts 10, 28, and we go all the way back to the beginning again, what were the Egyptians doing to the Hebrews? Can't sit down with them. Don't want to mess with them. Their culture is different. They're different. Exactly. They shepherds. So how is it all this time that passed and you got the Yehudim, Almighty Yah's chosen people, for the set purpose that he chose them for, end up rating the same exact type of spirit? All because when man gets his hands on the plans of Almighty Yah, we mess them up. That's why we got to stay true to that unadulterated word. Just receive it the way that he has for us. Because he gave access to all nations to be able to enter in under what his son did for us. And it's a humbling moment for Kepha. But thankfully, Kepha's a wise man. And I'm sure he got a lot of I'm sorry, he got a lot of peace whenever he realized what it meant. Because he was probably sweating on the Just imagine it. Because you know Kepha, in his position, he ain't never ate none of that stuff. He said it himself. And my lips have never touched anything that's unclean or common. I cannot eat that. And he knows that you got to stay true to the word, and the Father don't go against his word, but the Father waited till lunchtime to drop that vision on him. He waited till he was hungry. Look, when you look at them things and you think about the Father, he's hilarious. He gets us. He gets us every time. But it says, that is why I came without hesitation when I was sent for. So I ask, why have you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and see, a man stood before me in shining garments and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your kind deeds were remembered before Elohim. Now send to Yafo and call Shimon here, who is also called Kepha. He is staying in the house of Shimon, a leather tanner by the sea. When he comes, he shall speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. And now we are present before Elohim to hear all that you have been commanded by Elohim. So I like this little subtitle that we get sometimes with the Esau. Gentiles hear the good news. Talk about some real good news. And opening his mouth, Kepha said, truly I see that Elohim shows no partiality. But in every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.
Amen.
And that is so beautiful. It is beautiful because literally, and then the fact, I just can't get over the fact that we're seeing right there in Genesis 48, the birth of that moment coming into fruition, that access being granted through covenant and promise and the representation of the cross. Because he's always pointing to the direction that he has in store. And you got to think about it. Whenever they were given these revelations and understanding, that must have been mind-blowing. And we know the prophets talk about, well, we know that the disciples talk about how the prophets long for the days that they were in. And we know the days that we longing for whenever we hear that. And Mashiach's coming back, setting all matters straight. He sent, verse 36, he sent the word to the children of Israel, bringing the good news. Peace through Yeshua Messiah. He is master of all. You know what word came to be throughout all Yehuda, beginning from Galilee after the immersion which Yohanan proclaimed, how Elohim did anoint Yeshua of Nazareth with the set-apart spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For Elohim was with him. And we are witnesses of all he did, both in the country of the Yehudim and in Yerushalayim, whom they even killed by hanging on a timber. Elohim raised up this one on the third day and let him be seen, not to all the people, but to witnesses, those having been chosen before Elohim, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded to us, proclaim to the people, and to witness that it is he who was appointed by Elohim to be judge of the living and the dead. To this one, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone believing in him does receive forgiveness of sin. Now, this is something that sometimes I usually wrestle with before service, especially whenever I get a long chapter put on my radar. I'm like, you know, just bypass it, hit the high points, and move on. But there's a lot of times where I really get impressed to go through it, because this may be some of our first times, or it may have been a while since we've been in this area, to get the full understanding of the text of what's being laid out before us. Because they have a realization of where the nations are able to enter in. And then you have the very next step is the receiving of the good news of the word. And then this happens. While Kepha was speaking these words, the set-apart spirit fell upon all those hearing the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Kepha, because the gift of the set-apart spirit had been poured out on the nations also. For they were hearing them, speaking with tongues, extolling Elohim. Then Kepha answered, is anyone able to forbid water, that these should not be immersed who have received the set-apart spirit, even as also we? And he commanded them to be immersed in the name of Yeshua Messiah. Then they asked him to remain a few days. If we'd be able to see this happen in that time frame, unfolding the way that it unfolded, making sure that we realize it ain't nothing about, you know, allowing us to do what we want to do with food, but making sure that we realize the redemption plan that was being spoken of all the way in the beginning of Genesis 48, and seeing the fruit being applied in that situation that we just went over. But I couldn't leave out verses 1 through 18 of chapter 11, because that re-solidifies the environment that they were in whenever it came to the man-made traditions, because of how they responded to Peter whenever he came back with the news. It wasn't like, hallelujah, let's go. It wasn't that right away. They were probably about ready to put their foot somewhere. Chapter 11 says, and the emissaries and brothers who were in Yehuda said that the nations also received the word of Elohim. And when Kepha went up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision were contending with him, saying, you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them? But Kepha began and set it forth in order, saying, I was in the city of Yafo praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending like a great sheet, let down from the heaven by four corners, and it came to me. Having looked into it, I perceived and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping creatures, and the birds of the heaven. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise up, Kepha, slay and eat. But I said, not at all, master, because whatever is common or unclean has never entered into my mouth. And the voice answered me again from the heaven, what Elohim cleansed you do not consider common. And this took place three times. And all were drawn up again into the heaven. And see, immediately three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me in Caesarea. And the Spirit said to me, go with them, not doubting at all. And these six brothers also went with me. And we went into the house, the man's house. And he told us that he had seen a messenger standing in his house, who said to him, send men to Yafo and call for Shimon, who is also Kepha, who shall speak to the words by which you have been saved, and you and all your house. And as I began to speak, the set-apart spirit fell upon them, as upon the beginning. And I remembered the word of the master. And he said, Yochanan indeed immersed in water, but you shall be immersed in set-apart spirit. So if Elohim gave them the same gift as he gives us when we believe on the Master Yeshua Messiah, how was I able to withstand Elohim? And having heard this, they were silent and praised Elohim, saying, then Elohim has indeed given to the nations repentance to life. And the reason that we went through both of those is because it's a reflection and a realization of the fact that the restoration of Israel took place in the very Torah portion areas that we're looking in right now through those chapters first. And then the door was open for the nations to be able to receive it. And we get these reflections of history repeating itself time and time again. And you can't help but think all the things that's been taking place in our current time frame, because the times are being shortened. We are entering in closer and closer to the time and the day that the Master is going to be coming back. And it's no coincidence that we see this great awakening of the truth and understanding that we're seeing. And I can't help but notice, but our remnant looks a whole lot bigger with everybody that's going to be showing up. Because I'm excited for that. I'm really excited for that. And that's only possible through Almighty Yah. Because he's the one that establishes and sets forth all these different things and principles that we have. All right. Well, there was more that I was going to go into tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and end it there. because I have information, been putting together information, but I've been trying to be prayerful and considerable. When Almighty Yah says, this is what I need you to look at. So we're going to leave it on that note, which I know doesn't cover much ground. But this is what we're here for. But I love y'all. Shabbat shalom.